This kid's great, isn't he? I mean, he was on the tour after this. I mean, he went to talk shows, and the thing is, I believe, is because he has no filter, right? I mean, whatever comes to his mind, he's saying. And I've seen him on TV, and I've seen him do different things. He is pretty funny to watch. But that's typical kids, is it not? One, what comes to your mind, usually say it. And if it's a little bit, not off color, but a little offensive to some people, or it doesn't register to them a lot of times, they just open their mouth and it comes out. The second thing is, it's all about their experience, is it not? I mean, if they have something that has happened to them, then that's the most important thing that you need to hear about. Have you ever been in a car with about 4, 5, 6 kids? There's about half of them are talking over one another. The other half's looking for an entry point in which the conversation has a lull and they can jump in, maybe one or two people talking at that time, because they don't listen. They want to tell you what their experience is, right? So they don't listen, and by the time you get to the end of the car ride, if you would ask any of them about anybody else's story, they'd have no clue. This is sort of the illustration that Paul uses almost through many of his writings, especially to the church in Corinth. He uses an illustration of kids. And he talks to them earlier. You remember earlier he said, you know what, I really can't talk to you about deep things at this point because you're still drinking milk. You're spiritually not taking in the deep things of God. You're still in the elementary stage of life with God. And he talks about these things as he's talking to kids. Now, hopefully we all mature to the point where we understand that life with God is also about life with one another. That it's not exclusive, me and God, and you guys can do whatever you want to do. Or let's talk about life together, me and you, and we'll just figure out what God wants later. This life with God is intertwined with one another and definitely with Him. Found it interesting. Did you know what you were going to... Did you look at the passage before you threw that up there? Okay. That's pretty cool that what growth is. And did you see how the roots sort of intertwine with one another? And how they sort of make each other strong? That is a great example of what Paul's trying to get through to the church in Corinth. He's saying, people, listen, it's not about you. It's not about your experience. It's not even about your struggles. It's about, one, hearing from God, being strengthened in your relationship individually, but yet that has an expression in the body. That has expression in life together. That has expression here at ACC. As you struggle, we struggle. As you rejoice, we rejoice. You can't do that without the Spirit of God speaking and teaching and instructing and refining who you are. I don't naturally have concern for you. That sounds really harsh. But I bet you don't naturally have concern for me. That's the Spirit of God at work in us that gives us concern for one another. And as we talked about last week, it's about hearing from God. It's not about what you and I can discuss and come to conclusion on. It's about hearing the word of God in our lives. And so Paul talks about two different kinds of spiritual gifts. These aren't the only two spiritual gifts, and these are definitely, but they're definitely sort of on the opposite ends. He talks about speaking in tongues, and he talks about prophecy. And he says, what good is it if you speak in tongues, if no one's there to interpret? Because ultimately, it's about hearing from God, both individually and corporately and together. And so he's leading them through these stages, I believe, of growth. Growth with who he is, understanding who he is, and understanding who they are in him. God loves to reveal truth to us. He loves to communicate with us. And so Paul's trying to get them to the place where they understand that, one, they need to hear from God, not only individually, but in a corporate setting. So we are finishing out chapter 14. And if you're good, we may just get out a little early today. We're in chapter 14, verses 20. Let's start 20 through 25. So think of that backdrop. Paul's trying to take a church in Corinth from drinking milk into maturity. He says, "Brothers and sisters, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants." What does he mean there? A lot of times our kids, we as kids, when we were kids, were ignorant about a lot of things, right? Before we got matured, we didn't know about a lot of things. And so Paul's saying, you know about evil things? Stay in that place. Stay in that place of ignorance. But in your thinking, be adults. And the law, it is written, "With other tongues and through the lips of foreigners, I will speak to this people, but even then they will not listen to me." So it sort of seems like we all can hear a lot of times, but not all the time do we listen. So Paul talks about tongues again. He said, "Tongues then are a sign, not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is not for unbelievers, but for believers. So if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues and inquirers or unbelievers come in, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if an unbeliever or an inquirer comes and while everyone is prophesying, they are convicted of sin and are brought under judgment by all. As the secrets of their hearts are laid bare, so they will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, 'God is really among you.'" So once again, we're talking about hearing God's voice. It's not about you hearing my voice. It's not about hearing Ben's voice. It's not really about listening to Lance, although he would like to tell you it is. No. It's not about listening to a person. It's about hearing God's voice. Because in the midst of that, there's life. There's conviction. There's refinement, but there's life when we hear or listen to God's voice. Now, I try hard not to be critical. I'm critical of myself, but I believe where we are in the church today, we live on a horizontal plane. We live on a horizontal plane. And as long as we live on a horizontal plane, we will be mostly thinking about our own experience. We'll be like a kid in the back seat. "Oh, that's your experience? Well, let me tell you about my experience. I'm going to one-up you." You ever heard of the one-uppers? Yep. "I'm going to one-up you. You got a story? I got one that's better. I'm just going to wait patiently because I'm matured in that. Until you finish your story, then I'm going to top that one." But on a horizontal plane, that's what we default to. Because God in his essence is others' generosity, others' focus. Paul said, pick up Jesus' example of considering others better than yourself. And so when we stay on this horizontal plane, it becomes about our preferences. And so what I do as a leader then in this scenario is, I want to know what your preference is. If it's about the same as everybody else's preferences, then the gathering that we have here on Sunday mornings will be most of your preferences. That's not God's heart. God's heart is that we would hear from him, that we would focus on him, that we would praise him, that we would be taught knowledge of him. That in that focus, then, we're transformed to think others better than ourselves. To hear and to experience that other people's walk with Jesus. Because the important thing that we're going to see here is that body dynamic edification of the body spiritually happens as you and I practice life with God during the week. That we don't wait till Sunday morning to come in and say, okay, what does God have to say? That during the week, God is shaping, molding, revealing truth to us, that when we do gather, whether it's on a Sunday morning or small groups or getting together for coffee or lunch or whatever, we can share life together. I don't have to sit here and try to tell you my experience. I get edified by what God told you. That's testimony time. You sit in the midst of God revealing truth, because once again, it's not about the life of isolation with God. It's not about me getting refined by God, getting truth from God, and holding it to myself. God reveals truth to us individually that we would be an edification to the rest of the body. Paul is trying to get through to these people to say, you all have life with God. You all should have a testimony. So now he starts to talk about the gathering piece. And he said, what then shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn or word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Wait a minute. You mean it doesn't say, when you come together, there's someone who received the word that's supposed to be given for that day. And he usually has a title. He says, when you come together, you've experienced life with God, you've experienced revelation of truth, you've experienced transformation, you have a hymn, you have a praise, you have a testimony, you have a revelation, you have truth. Think about when Peter realized that God does not show favoritism. He is not biased. He reveals truth. He reveals his spirit to all who would believe. And so Paul goes in, and I'm going to read it. But Paul is really given a basis of a service, of a gathering of that culture. He says, two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. And if a revelation comes to someone who is sitting down, the first speaker should stop. For you can all prophesy in turn so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the control of prophets. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all congregations of the Lord's people. What is he saying? Everyone should have a word, a testimony, a hymn. And we don't sit there and wait for the other person to stop speaking or start talking over them. We listen in order that we would be edified, because we are children of God. And he has no favorites, and there is no bias. And so he's speaking continually if we would listen. And when he speaks, that word is to edify the person, but it's to edify the body. The transforming work of God's Spirit at work in us is able to then express God's character and life into other people. It's pretty amazing. How many times has God spoken and it's not been for you? It's pretty amazing when God transforms your heart to be thinking of others, and then he gives you a word for that person. Now, the next section here is the most important piece of scripture that we all should heed to. It says, women should remain silent in the churches. This morning, that is it for this morning. Let's pray and close. I'm joking. Thank you, Amy. There's a section here that is definitely, in my estimation, cultural. But I'm going to read it. It says, women should remain silent in the churches. They are not allowed to speak, but must be in submission, as the law says. If they want to inquire about something, they should ask their own husbands at home, for it is disgraceful for a woman to speak in the church. What's Paul saying? Do you remember we were talking earlier that these people in Corinth, men and women, were experiencing the renewal of Christ? God was coming and changing them and transforming them. And they understood the concept that there is no woman or male. There's no male or female. There's no slave or free. There's no Jew or Gentile at the foot of the cross. We are all equal. And absolutely that's truth. But what was happening in this church, in this place, is the women were taking up arms, basically, and saying, hey, Paul or Apollos or whoever is saying there is no male free male, no Jew, Greek, there's no slave free. We're all at the foot of the cross. And they were saying, then we want independence. We're going to fight for our rights. I'm going to fight to be heard. In the midst of that, it was totally conflicting with the message of Christ. Jesus Christ, being the Son of God, did not consider equality with God something to be hung on to. Do we understand that? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, did not consider equality, which he was equal with God, something to be held on to, death gripped on, but he released it. And I think Paul's just saying, in the culture, what you are promoting, if you stand up, male, female, it doesn't matter. If you stand up for your rights, if you demand to be heard, if you become independent, you're proclaiming the wrong message to the world. The wrong message to the world of who Jesus is. And so in the midst here, I believe he's saying, this is the culture that you are set in. And once you start to go outside of that culture, you're declaring your own rights. You're declaring independence. Now, do you as women and we as men have rights? Well, honestly, outside of Christ, we don't. Sorry. You don't even have the right to be right outside of Christ. But God says, lay down your rights. Is that the culture of today? No, it's not. Is it wrong for male or female to declare independence and start fighting for your rights? Yeah, I'm sorry, it is. It is. When Christ comes and he takes over your life, you are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Now, is there fulfillment and life in God? Absolutely. And all those human rights that we, not that it's, hear me say, it's not wrong to fight for the rights of other people when they are being neglected. But what God says is, lay those defenses in my lap. Let me be your defense. And so does that make sense? That is a cultural call at that point, because what they were doing was declaring independence in their own rights. Amy, I don't want you letting out the air in my tires when we leave here. So Paul goes on to say, or did the word of God originate with you? Or are you the only people it has reached? If anyone thinks they are a prophet or otherwise gifted by the Spirit, let them acknowledge that what I am writing to you is the Lord's command. But if anyone ignores this, they will themselves be ignored. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy, and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but everything should be done in a fitting and orderly manner. Principle. Jesus Christ is Lord, head of his church. The Spirit gives gifts in order that those gifts would be an edification and a proclamation, both. Edification for the body and a proclamation for the world that this is who Jesus is. And then the Father takes those gifts that have been given in the ministries, given by the Lord, and he finds the places of effect. He puts those gifts and ministries through the conduit of the church at work in the world, where he sees fit. Male, female, it doesn't matter. You follow Christ. The Spirit of God gives you gifts. And those gifts are able then to open us up to the reality of God's heart. It transforms us. It changes us, yes. But ultimately, God wants to speak through those gifts, through
your time with Him spent during the week, through your time spent with other people. He wants His word to be known. And our minds, our thoughts, our thinking does not get checked at the door. It's not about coming to find the greatest experience, which is what the church in Corinth were wanting to do. They wanted to have tongues. Why? That is the grand gift. The one that gets all the attention. If you start speaking in the heavenly language that nobody else knows, that'd be pretty impressive in the midst of the gathering, right? I believe tongues are still being spoken today. But when it's out in the gathering and there's no one to interpret, what good is it? How does that edify one another? It's disorderly. And God's not a God of disorder or confusion. Why? Because He wants His word known. And so Paul says, pray for prophecy. Desire those gifts that are an edification to the body. And do it in an orderly way. Not that you're speaking over somebody. Not that you don't give someone the opportunity to be an edification, a blessing to the body. And as these things happen, as God moves by His Spirit, and we know His heart, and He speaks clearly, and we not only hear, but we listen and engage our brains, then we grow. And we grow together, and we grow stronger. And God then is known throughout the world. He's known in our communities. Because it's not just about me and my experience with God that I'm sharing. I'm receiving truth and understanding from Bob and Dan and Lance and Bruce and Diane and all the people that make us who we are. We receive knowledge and understanding of God. That's a beautiful thing. We can't do that without God's Spirit. Let's pray. Father, I thank You that You are who You are. There is no male or female. There is no Jew or Greek or Gentile. There is no slave or free. At the foot of the cross, You are the one we have to look to for salvation and truth. Where else would we go? And in the midst, You do bring order. Yes, You are Jesus. You are the head of the church. But yet You submitted to the Father's will. There is order. And then, God, You choose to use us. You choose to gift us with eternal blessing of receiving a gift from the Holy Spirit. And You've put us in relationship. You've given us the relationships that are here represented in this body. I thank You for that. God, may we never lose the fact that You are speaking to us individually, but You are speaking to us corporately in this community. That we would consider others better than others' interests before our own, and that You would be glorified throughout the world. I thank You for this body. I thank You for the gifts that are represented here. And may we operate in the attitude of Jesus. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.